Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own Crunchventure with Cap'n Crunch.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that. It also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You've been listening to our podcast, Getting Educated, Regulating Your Emotional Reactions, and it's been really helpful. Yet you know you could do better, be better, and you're wanting and needing more support. That's where our coaching service is a game changer. We're here for you when you need us the most, ensuring you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you to be more effective. Our free rapid relief call helps you gain a broader perspective, commit to your best next steps, and determine what coaching support is right for you. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call today. Welcome to the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast, where we invite you into a journey of healing and personal transformation that will radically change your divorce experience, heal your heart while refining your character, and set you up to be effective and feel empowered as you navigate the practical and emotional challenges of divorce. I'm your host, Karen McMahon, founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. My divorce brought me to my knees, and it also transformed me and set me on this path to help you.
I worked with a dad who was 5 years no contact with his son, and he didn't have a way to reach his son. But I encouraged him to go to his son's high school graduation, even though it's possible his son wouldn't see him. His son didn't see him that day. He made a website for his son. Son didn't respond. And then 4 months later, the son reaches out to the dad and says, hey, I'd love to see you. And they've now had 3 meetings and the son's going to spend summer with the dad.
Wow.
And when you do the energetic work, you have an energetic bond with your kid. They will feel it. And in so many cases, it's the kid who reaches out. And I often ask parents, if your kid knocked on your door today, would you be ready? And a lot of parents think about it. They go, you know what, Ginger, I wouldn't. I wouldn't know what to do. What if they were angry at me? What if I reach out and they reject me? I can't deal with rejection anymore. I want to give up, but they don't want to give up. So getting in this good place of where you focus on your own actions is very healing.
Stepping into the realm of high conflict divorce can be daunting after years in a dysfunctional marriage that's left you feeling diminished and uncertain. In our High Conflict Divorce Demystified series, we acknowledge the emotional roller coaster you're on, facing self-doubt and fear, especially regarding your children and finances. We're here to provide empathy, education, and guidance as you navigate the maze of legal intricacies and emotional challenges ahead. So let's dive in.
Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of High Conflict Divorce Demystified. Today we're talking about Reclaiming Connections, a guide to mending the rifts of parental alienation, which is actually a pretty heavy lift. And with me today is quite the expert, Ginger Gentile, who is the Erased Child Whisperer, but I'll get to that in just a moment. Today, we're diving into this incredibly difficult, painful topic, critical areas to help families overcome the challenges of parental alienation. Parental alienation is such an abusive behavior that goes on. And today, we're going to explore the basics of parental alienation and the impact it has on both the children and the alienated parent. And we're going to spend most of our time on how to be strategic and get back into your child's life. And I believe that this is Ginger's zone of genius. Yeah. So a little bit about my guest before we dive in. Ginger Gentile is a dedicated filmmaker and activist. Renowned for her work on parental alienation, she directed the groundbreaking documentary Erasing Family, which is in the show notes and a must watch. And it highlights the struggles children and parents face due to family court injustices, because the family court is so ill-equipped to handle this. Ginger's advocacy efforts are focused on transforming the stigmatized conversation around parental alienation into one of problem solving and healing. And her mission is to create educational content that not only informs, but also supports affected families in reclaiming their relationships. I am so excited to talk to you. This is such a vitally important topic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Now, thank you, Karen, for inviting me and that wonderful introduction. And yeah, there's a lot of stigma around parental alienation. Even recently, it's not something that really concerns me because I focus on out-of-court solutions, but there's been a movement to not allow the term to be used in court across the country and in Canada. People feel a lot of shame and guilt about this. I mean, think about being a stay-at-home mom in one scenario, and then you're alienated, you can't see your kids, it's been a few years, and then you meet another mom in the supermarket and she goes, "Oh, how's your son doing? What college is he going to?" And you say, what do I say? Do I lie? Do I say the truth that I have no idea where he's going to college? That you know more than me? And these are the dilemmas that parents face. They face a lot of shame and stigma. And they also often, they're greeted when they look for help with people with solutions that often increase the conflict and the fighting, or they ignore the dynamics of the situation, give advice that might be good if it's just like not a great divorce, but not something like this. Because you said it so well, Karen, in the introduction, this is really a form of abuse. And it's a very sticky one because it can be nebulous at times. It can show up in different ways. But I want to let all the people who are listening right now know there is hope. There are solutions. Sometimes they're not always overnight solutions, but there are a lot of families who are reuniting and healing from this. So there is a path forward.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to say that this isn't an accident that this happens. This is a strategic campaign that victimizes the children and alienated people in this way. What I would love to do, Ginger, is just a little context. We've had a number of experts on over the course. So there's one of the key things is, what's the difference between estrangement and alienation? And I think that because my audience is high conflict and the children are caught in the middle and they do sometimes pick sides, and that's different than alienation. So can you just kind of lay a foundation for us?
Sure. Well, I want to warn you and your listeners that I'm going to give an answer that maybe no one else gives. When I work with families, and I usually work with the parent who's being alienated,
right,
or estranged, or is caught in a high conflict battle, I see an unhealthy family dynamic that goes across a spectrum. And I work with parents who say they're being alienated, who really have estranged themselves.
Right.
I work with parents who, the parent who's being alienated is also a high conflict narcissist. The other parent's just better at alienating and one. I've worked with people also who did things that did harm their children. And they've corrected that behavior. So for example, I worked with a few alcoholics whose children rejected them because they were alcoholics. They got sober, but that was still hanging over the relationship and then were able to reunite. And I've also seen parents who start off alienated. And by alienation, I'll give you my definition in a second, but then estrange themselves over time. Because if you stop trying, if you stop showing up, if you say, well, if you don't want to see me, that's okay, then you become estranged. So my definition of alienation is conditional love. So I will love you. I will be your mom or your dad or your stepmom or your grandparent. Sometimes the alienator is the stepparent or the grandparent. If you do certain things, such as reject the other parent and reject their side of their family, or even reject any siblings who associate with that parent, reject any outside help, any therapist who seems to intervene. So the cure for conditional love is unconditional love. So if parents can show up with the skill set, but based on unconditional love, understanding that their children are not doing this on purpose, that they're caught in a loyalty vine, there's some paths forward. But I feel that, you know, there can often be a lot of time spent on diagnosing, is this really alienation or is this justified? And I say, no matter what happens, kids need to have relationships with their parents. I am not a fan of the cancel your parent, cut off contact with toxic parents movement, the sweep in the nation. I know because they have way more followers than I do on social media, like cut them off. But when you talk to these kids, they always say how unhappy they feel afterwards. And so also can mean learning to have a relationship with someone that's a limited relationship, that has a lot of boundaries, that has a lot of rules, but it means knowing who your parent is, knowing your heritage, your roots, your identity. Mm-hmm. And parental alienation steals children's identity. Mm-hmm. It steals their ethnic, religious, and ancestral identity, in addition to stealing a relationship with a good parent. So the one thing I do reject is when parents say, I'm alienated, I've done nothing wrong, it's all the other person's fault. And it's like, no, we're in a dynamic that's completely unhealthy. And maybe it's 97% the other parent's fault, but by focusing on the 3%, we can actually see some change in the dynamic. And I came from this when I made A Racing Family and my own experience as a kid who went through this. When you talk to parents, whether they're the alienator or the alienated parent, it's very black and white. Kids live in gray. And there are cases where there's an extreme alienation and there's an extreme rejection. I definitely see those. But the kids, it's they're in this gray area. And I see the way out by seeing the shades of gray and seeing this as an unhealthy family dynamic as opposed to one person who's evil is doing this to somebody who's completely innocent.
Right. Well, it sounds to me, Ginger, like if you have just the evil parent and they have all the power, then you're powerless and then they're out. And so I love your perspective. I would like to kind of pause this for a second. And would you share with our audience a little bit of your experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, Karen. So I grew up in a family that was filled with fighting constantly. And I remember asking my mom one day when I was probably about 7 or 8, why do you and dad fight so much? And she said, because we love each other. Please don't tell that to your kids, because as a coach and an expert, this can imagine who I ended up marrying, right? I was set up for that one. So my parents got divorced when I was 13. And during the separation process, they both stayed in the home, kind of like War of the Roses style, to fight over it. And I was so relieved when the divorce actually happened. And then it didn't end. The conflict didn't end with the divorce, which is what I was a child. I was actually, of course, I didn't want my parents to get divorced in the beginning. But then after 3 years of going through a divorce with them living together, I was like, yes, thank you that this they're finally getting divorced. But then the fighting kept going. So I then decided, or, you know, subconsciously made a decision after college to move as far away as I could from my family. I moved to Argentina, a country I have no connection to. I did not speak Spanish. And I lived there for 13 years. And when I was there, I became a filmmaker, which I wasn't planning on doing. And I met a man, I fell in love with him. And the first thing he told me was, it's been 6 years since I've seen my daughter. So I actually entered this because I fell in love with an alienated dad. And I made a film in Argentina called A Racing Dad. He produced the film. He was also a filmmaker. It's not about him, but it's about all the dads in Argentina who can't see their kids. And I say dad because before we made the film, the law said custody automatically went to the mother. And it was the most talked about film when it came out in 2014 in Argentina, because it was the first film censored. And people are surprised that they censored a film about divorce and custody and parental alienation. But there's a lot of financial incentive to keep things the way they are. And I won't go into that, what happened, but basically everyone wants to see a censored film. We did a huge media tour. It was very stressful for me because I was basically debating people in Spanish. And they're very angry. They're like very hostile interviews. Like they would say, oh, we brought in somebody who hates you on the air, debate. And I had no warning about this. So I decided to leave Argentina. I also then divorced my then husband. He, by the way, for the people who are listening and curious, he did reunite with his daughter when she turned 21. And I went back to the US and decided to make another film called Erasing Family. And this film is very different because Erasing Dad, which you can watch on YouTube, it has English subtitles. It's almost, it's a true crime film. It's all about the legal system. It's all about the worst cases that end up with a parent murdering their child. It ends up with the mother being like threatening to kill her son. The father goes to try to get help from the police. Like, well, you know, what mother doesn't go crazy every once in a while? Ha ha ha. She kills the son who's six.
Oh my God.
Writing on the wall, like in Hollywood, if I can't have him, you won't, you know, pay back. I took what you love the most out of this world. And then she commits suicide in prison. The film is very, you know, I'll make an IPEC joke. It's a very level one film. It's very much about the conflict. And then when I came back to do Erasing Family, I really focused on the kid's perspective. And it's a much more psychological film about healing. And I also discovered that in the US, there's a lot of moms who are being alienated. It's a completely different film. And also Erasing Family has hope in the end because we see people reuniting in real time. And it's all about removing this blame. And it's a deep psychological dive. And I think it's because around that time, I began to like meditate and work on myself, learn these techniques to reduce conflict in my own life. And so I was in a very different spiritual, emotional place when I made that film. And it's really is a message of healing. And then after I made that film, a lot of parents began to contact me. Because when I was making the film, I would start doing these Facebook Lives, just sharing what I was learning. So a lot of people saw me as an expert on the subject, whether I was or not. I was just sharing what I was learning. And parents started to contact me. And at first I resisted it because I'm not a coach. And then I was like, well, okay, if you really want to talk to me and work with me as a coach, I'll start. And I started getting people who moms and dads want to work with me. Then I trained with the IPEC Institute for coaching. I trained with Bill Eddy, who runs the High Conflict Institute. I've done a lot of other trainings along the way. And what those trainings have enabled me to do was move from, let's say, a consultant on parental alienation to a coach. And that means meeting people where they're at, realizing that there's usually deep rooted trauma, both of the alienator side and the person being alienated and the children. And that this is really about showing up differently as opposed to a pure legal strategy. Or a pure talking to your kid strategy. So when I work with parents, I combine deep emotional work and healing and maybe seeing family patterns that have gone up with very practical strategy. And some parents have to go to court because the other parents sued them. in a few cases, it is the best option. In most cases, it isn't. So I'm always like, if court's a tool, and the general thing, I've seen some exceptions, but if this is brought to court right at the beginning, like within 3 months of the start of the alienation, there can be some good outcomes. When we're on year 5 or 6 and parents go to court, it becomes very difficult. And often it just becomes this like money and stress pit. And then more and more experts become involved, more and more evaluations, it moves very slowly, and time is on the alienator's side.
Yeah, it's so multidimensional, this problem. And I have to say, I've been podcasting since 2016, and it was probably in the first 3 or 4 years, I interviewed not to be named expert in New York City. And I didn't even want to publish the interview because throughout the whole interview, and I was learning about parental alienation for the first time back then, it was all doom and gloom. And throughout the entire interview, I kept saying, but there has to be a silver lining. There has to be, like, can you talk about, and I ended up actually taking the interview down because I felt like while she articulate the problem, she really did have, she was a psychologist. She had this perspective that you're screwed, period, hard stop. And I was like, okay, I'd never present that message.
No. So
I've since interviewed a couple of other experts. One is Jennifer Harmon. She was in your movie, in the film. Yeah. So, and she was brilliant. So what I would really like to do here is have you explain a little bit. I was just rewatching.
Yeah.
The show, guys, before the interview, and it's a must watch. So let's just do this. Let's just do a public service announcement. Could you describe in a couple of sentences what Racing Families covers, the power of it, and why everyone listening right now should absolutely go into the show notes, click on it, and watch it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so the film Racing Family, it follows 3 young adults as they fight to heal their families. And this is a burden that no child should have. And they are trying to reunite their families. In 2 cases, it's with their parents. In 1 case, it's a young girl as young as 12 who's trying to find her brother who ran away. And what we see in all of these cases is people not, because they grew up in this, not having all the skill sets that they need. So, and it's also mixed with, I did some really short interviews with kids in different from different places in the country, some middle class, some more working class, just talking about how prevalent this is. And I didn't screen, I didn't say, hey, come and talk to your interview if you're alienated. I just said, if you're a child divorced, just show up. And I did no research. And all of them talk about kind of spectrums of alienation. Only like one was like, everything's fine. Everyone else was like, well, I didn't get to see my dad. I didn't get to see my mom. I couldn't see my brother. My mom and her stepdad sat me down and explained to me why dad was bad and had to reject him. I wasn't allowed to see my dad. I was always told your dad's a loser because he doesn't pay child support. Like all this bad mouthing that we find so common, it doesn't necessarily lead to alienation, but it can if then there's more malice intent behind it, right? And in the film, you really see these shades of gray and you see how the parents who are alienated maybe could have taken a different path as well, but they didn't have the skills to take a different path. And then the most bittersweet story of all is there's a hairdresser who rides a motorcycle, looks like this tough guy. He's a complete teddy bear. But also when he made the film and he saw it, he told me he realized how angry he was at the court system, which treated him horribly, his ex-wife, and that he had to let that anger go. And at the end of the film, he reunited with one daughter very quickly. And the other daughter says, I want nothing to do with my dad. He's not even my dad. It's just blood and DNA. Since the film came out, he's reunited with her. And I did a follow-up video on my YouTube talking about this. And it actually inspired me in my coaching program because I saw that letting go of the anger and hurt is so important. And then I looked at all the families who I interviewed in A Racing Family, because in addition to the ones in the film, I also filmed about 8 whose interviews didn't make the film, and maybe 100 that I didn't even film, right? And all the parents who reunite follow the same steps. Now, depending on where you are, there's one step that maybe you can do in a day and one step that maybe takes you 6 months. if you're doing this on your own, maybe years. But it all starts with letting go of the trauma response, letting go of the anger, getting to the root cause of the alienation, which is what on the alienator side, but also on your family side, your historical side. Then it's getting the alienation if your kids are young to stop, which is what everyone says you can't do. All the experts out there, like the one you interviewed, are like, you can't get it to stop. You can't co-parent with a narcissist. Like, well, yeah, you can. You just need to treat them differently. And it's difficult. And there's a whole skill set and a way to message them and talk to them. But you can't co-parent with a narcissist because kids won't reunite if there's still this ongoing conflict. They're always going to feel a loyalty bind. And they're probably going to choose the alienator because that's what they chose or were forced to choose or who are being held hostage by. And then it's strategy, and then it's reaching out. And what parents want to do in this situation is they want to reach out right away.
You've heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers. If co-parenting has been difficult this year due to your ex's alcohol abuse, you need SoberLink. How it works is simple. Your co-parent will test at scheduled times. Built-in facial recognition will confirm their identity. Tampa sensors will flag any attempts to cheat, and results will get sent instantly to your phone, so you know that your kids are with a sober parent. Lay the groundwork for brighter days ahead. Visit soberlink.com/JBD to learn more and get $50 off your device.
So first of all, heart-wrenching, beautiful, beautiful description and explanation of the impact on everybody and talking to moms and dads who are alienated. So if you think you are, if you're just interested, if you're really struggling, please, please put some time aside and watch this film because it will be very validating and also informative. And so what I'd like to do is pivot a little bit to now, so you started off as a filmmaker, you were an alienated kid yourself, and here you are with how many different certifications under your belt, coaching.
Yeah,
it's so interesting how we end up in
the
And so I'm curious about your approach, your process, your signature system, and you were running through that really fast. To stop you and slow it down. So you meet someone, it's somewhere on that spectrum between estranged and alienated. It's not about the blame. You don't want to run right out and try and reconnect with the kid. What do you want to start doing? What's step one?
So the first step is letting go of the trauma response, because when we're stuck in a trauma response, and if you've alienated, you can't see you're a kid, you've been traumatized, you can't make rational decisions. We're stuck in a feedback loop. And a lot of parents will tell me that they've been trying the same thing over and over again for years.
So what does like that look like? What is letting go of the incredible hurt and pain and disappointment? Mm-hmm. How do you actually walk? I'm not that you're going to tell us everything, but like, how does someone actually do that when every day they wake up to the same pain and the same emptiness? Like, what's the approach to that?
So that's a great question. So first of all, whenever I work with somebody, if there is a lot of issues, I do believe that I should work with a therapist. So the therapist can deal more with deep trauma, mental issues. As a coach, it's always focusing about putting this in practice and moving forward. Right. So one thing can be going from hopelessness to hope. So, okay, let's find other people who reunited and you can talk to them and see that it's possible. We can start saying, replacing, I can't reunite, my kids hate me, to my kids love me, and I love them. We catch ourselves when we're, is replacing these, rewiring our thoughts. And I also use a lot of meditations for this. And then also seeing how, instead of going a deep dive right into, okay, how do I respond differently to my ex or to my kids? How's it showing up with work? How's it showing up in your life? So one dad I'm working on right now, his son actually said, I don't want to see you because I don't like how you drive. And he said he's a good driver. He's never gotten a ticket, never got a DUI. Now, here's what's interesting. He keeps on bringing up the driving. And then he tells me one day how angry he gets at other drivers when they cut him off. So this is a way that we could work on that trauma response of just like, because we also get angry at the children, at the alienator, and other drivers. So I helped him say, well, what if he likes to canoe? He's in Florida. Florida also is really bad drivers. So I understand his frustration. And when I moved to Florida, I decided not to drive ever again. That's how bad it is.
Instead of it being the teenagers that are the problem, it's the elderly people. I lived in Florida.
It's
get on the road sometimes.
It was scary.
Anyway, so we digress.
We digress. But I was like, okay, so when you see an alligator or a tree branch and you're canoeing, do you get angry at the alligator or the tree branch? He goes, no, there's obstacles. I'm like, okay, we're just going to start seeing everything as obstacles.
Mm.
So that's one way. And it really is what speaks to people. So also when people come from a strong religious background, I will bring that in and work with them from their background, whether it's my background or not. Some people aren't religious at all. But if prayer helps them, then it can be prayer. An easy one for some parents is, well, just be somebody else. So when they have to respond, we find an avatar, someone famous, who they think would have a good response in the situation. And it depends, because also some parents, they fight fire with fire and they're always very angry. And some are like pushovers, especially when there's been a lot of abuse. When I work with moms who've been victims of emotional abuse, I have to be like, I actually tell them, go look at how rap artists talk. That's how you have to talk to your ex.
You know,
I don't give a damn about what you say. You're not being angry. You're not saying, but you're like, I don't have time for people who are lower than me, because I have people that they try to please their ex.
Right.
And it's like, I also give the movie What's Love Got to Do with It with Tina Turner as homework.
You know, I want to pause you here because what I'm hearing is step one is largely about the reframe, right? So how do I look at this situation differently? So rather than a dead end, I see possibility.
Right.
And then the second thing that I hear you saying, I just recently did a Karen Solo podcast on how one can use the concept of an alter ego.
Yes.
And that's what I'm hearing, that the rap artist, really, it's like, well, what's your alter ego? So if you tend to blow up, you need someone calm. But if you tend to shrink back, then you need to get a little toot in there and a little.
Well, I love the Tina Turner example because she became a Buddhist. Everyone knows she was beaten up by Ike for about 20 years.
Yeah.
She becomes a Buddhist, which Buddhism is pacifist religion, philosophy. But then one day Ike hits her and she hits him back and she says, let's roll. And he never hits her again. She takes back what's hers. But when she meets him in the future, she says, I'm so sorry, Ike, that happened to you, that you're now poor. But then she leaves. She doesn't try to solve Ike's problems. She doesn't keep in contact with him. She just sends him love and goes,
that's great.
May you be happy and I'm gone. And people tend to remain enmeshed. So a lot of times the alienator wants to alienate because it's a way to hold power over you and maintain a relationship. But people often fall into this trap. So an alter ego can be very helpful. So we can never fully get rid of a trauma response or feeling angry, feeling sad. That's not the idea. So we can look at the emotion, acknowledge it, thank the emotion, ask, what are you trying to teach me this moment? And then distance ourselves. So here's a little tool that I give parents who are very sad about their kids. So this is very specific. So you ask me for a specific tool. Let's say it's too painful to see your kids' pictures up on the wall. Very common with alienated parents. But they also feel bad about taking them down. So one thing that I have them do is I say, if you want to take them down, that's okay. Put everything in a box. And then you're going to set time aside each week. 20 minutes. It can also be every day. It can be once a month, up to you. You're going to take out everything in the box. And you're going to feel whatever emotion you want to feel for 20 minutes. You want to cry, if you want to curse, and then you put them back in the box. And over time, and it's okay if it takes a while, you might start to feel nostalgic instead of angry or sad, taking those items out of the box. Then you can put on your kids' favorite music. A big thing I'm into is having parents start cooking their kids' favorite meals, because one thing that is common with alienated parents is they're trying to prove that they're alienated all the time to me, to their kids, to their courts, to their ex. So it's like, let's get you back in a mom and dad energy. So I want you to cook their favorite meal and then share it with somebody. Your partner, someone in need, and you're just going to get back in that, you know, especially for moms, that mom energy. Yeah. Sometimes it's going out and volunteering into the community, but really finding a way to live your best life, but it's not like putting the pain away. Let's acknowledge the pain and then do something else, because becoming a magnet that attracts your kids back is super important in this process, because kids don't want to be with a broken martyr. And a lot of parents think, oh, if I'm a martyr, I show how much I fought. And kids don't, they don't want that.
No, because that's just more heavy difficulty for them, because they've gone through their thing as well. So there's an author of a book of The Genius in All Your Emotions, Arla McLaren. You just reminded me of that, because she talks about how every emotion is there to inform and guide us, and then we get to let it go. She said the problem we have, especially traumatized, is our best buddy and we hold on to it forever.
I love that. Your best buddy. Yeah. I love that. It becomes your friend.
Let it go. Let it, after it's done its job, say thank you very much. Shame, you can leave. Thank you very much. Pain, you can leave. So I love that. So if step one is that reframing, that finding the alternative, that acting as if and stepping back into the parental role, what comes after that?
So then the next step, I'm a little confused because I had six steps and then someone was like, make them five. And like step one and two, which is like letting go of trauma,
and it doesn't
anger.
We don't.
So step two is finding the root cause of the alienation.
And what does that mean to find, like, so give me two or three examples of what a root
cause. Sure. So this is both practical and profound. So the practical thing is, why is the other person doing this? And this often is a trauma response, but they might want money. And if they have the kid for more time, they get more child support. Okay. If we know that, then later on, we can create a strategy around it, such as not nickel and diming the other parent, even though it's not fair and you're giving them more money. I often tell parents, if you can pay off the other parent to let you see their kids, do it. That's like, you're lucky in this case. And a lot of people say, well, it's not fair in this. And if money will solve this, you are lucky, because you can always just make more money. Now, if they are responding to a trauma response, which is very likely, one, you as the parent envision the other parent as a traumatized child who's sick, who has a problem, and not an evil monster.
So really see the pain, like the child within, the brokenness of the person that you divorced, who's now, you're seeing them as this powerful person who's ripped your heart out because your kids. But if you could say, well, what do I know about them and their childhood or their own pain, you can begin to diminish that anger and hostility toward
them. So that's part of it. But now, but there's more steps, there's more benefits to this. So the first, so after we see their pain, there's also a practical side to this, which is it gives us strategy, because a lot of people say, well, my spouse is high conflict, or they will diagnose what you shouldn't do. They're narcissist, they're borderline, et cetera. I'm like, okay, they may be quote unquote crazy, but if they have these patterns, they're predictable. So for example, a grandiose narcissist loves to feel important. And I was just talking to a mom today in a session, and she was like, I always tell the dad why he's wrong, and he has this war against me. I think he's a narcissist, blah, blah. I'm like, well, start telling him how intelligent he is. And she was like, oh, but he's hurting me. I'm like, oh, I'm not saying to go along with what he's doing and become a doormat, but you can say, wow, I really value your opinion as the father of our children. You're so smart. You always have great things. So what's your reasoning behind this decision? And you know how many times they say they don't have a reason, and they just say, oh, whatever, I'll just do what you want. Just stop asking me. But if we say you're wrong, and they're high conflict, they like the conflict. So it can give us a guide, but then, and now this is very powerful, it's also that alienator is your child grown up if you don't do anything to stop this? Because they are being raised by that person. We know this is multi-generations. Whether you're spiritual or you study, what's it called, genetics, trauma is passed on. This is no longer woo-woo thinking. This is
generational.
We have this generational trauma. We have the science behind this, but they're also being raised by someone who's teaching them that this is what love is. This is what healthy is. This is normal. And we know from statistics that children, if this doesn't stop, they are likely, if they become married and don't reject marriage and children altogether, likely to become alienated or alienators. They have a 50% chance will be okay. Half will either become the alienator or the alienator, and the cycle will just repeat and repeat. Because also a lot of the parents I work with, they were alienated children.
So I think I'm missing the strategy here. Sure. So if I know that my kid is, and because I say that in our world too, it's like, if you're in a high conflict marriage and you're staying for the kids, they're learning that's healthy love behavior. That's intimate love. And then they'll either become the high conflict person or the codependent person. But in that statement for you, it's not like, so just have a relationship with your kids. They can't have a relationship. So what is noticing that my daughter may grow up to be an alienator, and therefore what?
Therefore, I need to become the breaker of generational trauma, even if it's annoying, even if I have to do things I don't like, learn new skills.
So I have to bite my tongue. I have to feed the other person's personality and speak the language that's going to bring. I have to have. So this is interesting, because what you're doing is you're talking to people and saying, in all of your pain, in all of your heartbreak, in all of your struggle, you have an opportunity to release that, to let go of that, to reframe the way you're thinking, and to really do the incredible hard work of changing the way you look at, think about, and engage with this, so that you get the prize at the end of the rainbow, which is
totally access to your kids. Is not just access to your kids, you're breaking a generational curse,
right?
Because so many it's rare the parent who says, I came from a happy home and I just fell into this. It happens. That's like 5% of the people I work with were like, my parents are still married. They're happy. Everything's great. And I don't know how I was tricked. Now, sometimes people will find global victims, but most of the time they're like, oh, my parents were divorced and I don't talk to my mom, and her parents were divorced and she doesn't talk to her dad, and his parents were divorced. Yep, yep, yep. Like, it goes past. And I've also worked with, so I'm going to talk to you about a coaching mistake I made in the beginning and a brilliant lesson it gave me. So in the beginning, I'd start working with people and I would obviously ask them questions in the first session, but I didn't really have an intake form. And now I have a very simple intake form. But in the beginning, people would say, I'm alienated again. You know, I can't see my 7-year-old. I was like, okay, we start working on it. And in session 3, they say, oh, by the way, I was married before and I can't see my 2 adult children either. Oh, and I was also married before that and I can't see my... So sometimes it's like, oh, so you like marrying alienators. So now I ask about the family history a little more and I work a lot more on that, but I discovered so many people that... So this is what's important. This pattern will repeat over and over again.
Unless you do the work to change yourself.
Very well said, Karen. Yeah.
Which is, that's our message to everyone. You will meet another high conflict person and get married. It'll be the same person in a different body. You'll rinse and repeat. In 7 years, you'll come back and go, why is this happening to me? Because you did not work yet.
Very, very true. And so this is practical, because if we know what's motivating them and we can see them, even if the motivation is totally unrational, then we know not to use reason, because we're not going to get anywhere. So just as, like I said, sometimes people are grandiose and they need their ego fed. Sometimes people also in the marriage, the person who's being alienated was, maybe we need to do it my way all the time. So then the person alienates because they feel criticized. So that's when it's like really letting go of what goes on in the other parent's house. And like, unless it's a safety issue, we let it go. We don't tell the other people how to parent because you're divorced now. But after we've done this, now we're ready to learn new skills.
And I'm going to stop you.
Sure.
First of all, we have a time situation here, so I want to honor that. So I'd like you to briefly say what this new skill thing is, but then I want to honor your time. And then we can leave a cliffhanger and help you. Reach you, and if you have a giveaway, because what you do is just incredibly so important.
Thank you.
It's just been delightful to chat with you about this and your system.
Well, I'll go through the last part because it's a little easier to understand. Okay. And then I'd love to talk about some cases that I've had. And then I think we're okay for time, and then we'll get on how to close up. But yeah, this is something I could talk all day about. But so after we've done the emotional work. And then also at this time, the parents are able to become a magnet that attracts their kids back. They're living their best life. They're going back out in the community, is learning new skills. So these are communication skills with, if necessary, your ex and your kid on how to communicate in a completely different way that reduces the conflict, that doesn't draw you into these endless debates of or blame or you need to apologize for this. It's a way to get out of it while really holding space for the other person, making them feel valued, but not going down these rabbit holes. Sometimes parents are like, well, if you do all these things, maybe you can see your kid and don't play that game. But you can listen to the person, you can honor their feelings. But a lot of parents are like, if you divorce your new wife, you can see the kids. I'm like, no, you don't do that. Because they'll come to me, I'm thinking about divorcing my wife. I'm like, no, we're not. Oh, yeah. Because people don't know what to do. They're so desperate. And then it's consistency. Because what happens to a lot of parents is that, especially the parents who will take my course, but sometimes don't work with me one-on-one, or even the ones who work on me one-on-one, we'll talk about the communication skills, we'll practice them, and they're like, got it, this is super easy. Okay. And then they'll be like, I use the communication skills, gender, and totally didn't work. I'm like, okay, can you show me the email? And they'll be short, because I teach people to be short in their context and polite, but full of insults. It's like, okay, so it's short, but insulting.
So the brief and firm and friendly, we didn't have friendly.
Yeah. Or they give advice. They tell the other person what to do. And we really need to stick to the rules consistently. And if people apply them over time, they often will see changes. But it's not just you send one email and then everything changes. And the changes in the other person's behavior, not that they're going to offer you an apology. And then with the kids, it's really figuring out what your kids need. Right. And so a lot of parents will send gifts and messages, but sometimes there needs a clearing of the air message. But I will leave this one last skill with the parent, one last advice with the parents. This isn't about apologizing for everything you did. That's something you do with your internal work. You write the letter apologizing to your kid for everything you think you did. Great. That does not get sent to the kid. And people are sending these letters to their kids. Don't do that. What you can offer your kid is a blanket apology, as in, especially if you haven't seen them for a while. Because if you haven't talked to your kid for a while and you say, Happy New Year, hope you're doing well, love dad out of nowhere, then they're like, well, you don't talk to me for 10 years and now F you, right? So what we want to say is something like, hey, I wasn't the best father or mother. I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't know how to be a good parent. There was a lot of fighting and conflict. I take full responsibility for you having to grow up with this. I'm doing a lot of work to improve myself. I love to have the opportunity to learn how I can make amends with you. Mm-hmm. Anything more specific, the kid has to tell you. Because if not, if we say, you might apologize for something that the kid isn't actually angry about.
Yeah.
And then so we don't want to do that. So we want to be open. And also if you're sending texts or emails or letters, very broad, share memories, keep it light, but anything, don't have heavy conversations over text messages, really push for a meeting, and then listen, observe and say, thank you for sharing, listen, you know, this is what I'm hearing, and also avoid what I call the half-ass apology. I'm sorry you feel that way. Like, you also don't have to apologize. If you really don't feel like you did something wrong, don't apologize, but don't do the, I'm sorry you feel this way. I'm sorry your mom made you hate me. Like, no, don't do that.
That is not an apology.
Yeah. And I just want to leave with some practical examples, because one thing I run into is every parent who I work with, well, not everyone, but a lot in the beginning will say, Ginger, this sounds great, but my case is crazy. My case is insane. And then they're like, you know, they kind of lean in like, what's the secret tip? that you're hiding from me. Now, there's more specific strategy we can apply in different situations,
yeah,
right? Better ways to write emails, a lot of emotional work. A lot of it is also accountability. A lot of it is also like how to parent when your parental authority is removed. There isn't like the secret text message that you send that writes everything. So what I found with parents who are thinking, well, this sounds great, Ginger, for the other parents, but not in my crazy case, just to give you some cases that I've worked on recently. This is just all recent. I worked with a dad who was 5 years, no contact with his son, didn't have his son's phone number. And he didn't have a way to reach his son. But I encouraged him to go to his son's high school graduation, even though it's possible his son wouldn't see him. His son didn't see him that day. He made a website for his son. Son didn't respond. And then 4 months later, the son reaches out to the dad and says, hey, I'd love to see you. And they've now had 3 meetings and the son's going to spend summer with the dad.
Wow.
And when you do the energetic work, and this is what people often like look at me funny with, if you do the energetic work, you have an energetic bond with your kid. They will feel it. And in so many cases, it's the kid who reaches out. And I often ask parents, if your kid knocked on your door today, would you be ready? And they, a lot of parents think about it, they go, you know what, Ginger, I wouldn't know what to do. What if they were angry at me? What if I reach out and they reject me? I can't deal with rejection anymore. I'm tired of this. I want to give up. But they don't want to give up, but they're just so tired of being rejected. So getting in this good place of where you focus on your own actions is very healing. I worked with a mother who 14 years, no contact, son reached out to her. Teenagers. I had one dad who the court order, which was awful, was like, they had to do an exchange in a Best Buy parking lot. And this is Massachusetts where it gets very cold in winter. So the mom would bring the two boys, teenage boys, in shorts and t-shirts. They wouldn't want to get out of the car. Hype them up. They would just be crying. He's like, Ginger, I don't want to go to these exchanges anymore because the boys won't get out of the car. It's just awful. I'm like, you got to show up. You cannot give up. Because the moment you show up, one, the courts say you abandoned the kids. Two, now you're the dad or the mom who abandoned the kids. The kids will feel it. It'll be used against you. So I'm like, you're going to show up or you're going to find any way to make this fun and happy. He'd bring sandwiches. The kids didn't want to eat the sandwiches. He'd bring the dog. Oh, we hate the dog now. But he was just like, I'm just going to hold space for 5 minutes. And then at one point, just he had to say, okay, it's okay. And the boys were so taught to hate him that they had a court-ordered therapy session, and one of the boys ran away with the court-ordered therapy session. He now has a great relationship with both boys.
Wow.
Because he just focused on how he showed up, and he said, as long as I show up happy and calm, I win. Even if the boys don't want to get out of the car, even my ex yells at me, he's able to have conversations with the ex now. And I see this a lot of times where it's like, when you abandon, this will never change. And you start to look at, well, how will this change? And there's a lot of techniques that I didn't have a chance to get in here. But the main thing is, and I found parents who have awful situations. And the ones, and sometimes it's right away, sometimes it takes a little work, who say, you know what, Ginger? I'm going to try something new. I take full responsibility for what I did. I accept the situation. I'm not here to prove it. What can we do? Sometimes they send one text message and they get a response right away. Because they've changed.
Right.
And that's the timeline where that depends on each person. Some people, they just surrender. And the ones who are like, no, Ginger, you don't understand. My ex is horrible. No, you don't understand. My ex is horrible. No, you don't understand. My ex is horrible. That's when it takes longer. Because when they say, it is what it is. What can I do now? Because if not, then also you bring to your child that energy. Your other parent is horrible.
So folks, I just want to kind of chime in here that Ginger and I were trained at the same coaching school. And so we work in this paradigm of emotional energy. And the lowest level of energy is that victim energy. And right above that is that angry conflict energy. And so as you're listening to her talk about energy, what she does and what we do at Journey Beyond Divorce is help people find their way to levitate up to the third level is actually kind of forgiveness. It's a gateway to all of the shades of love. And then you have peace, joy, and ultimate happiness. And so when you do this work, it absolutely changes you and has a ripple effect on everyone that you touch. And so you've just done such a beautiful job. And
thank you.
I'm so grateful that you're out there in the world doing what you do. This is like such a big area that needs healing and guidance. Yeah.
And I'm so grateful, Karen, that you and the Journey Beyond Divorce are really focused on healing, that you're like, no, there has to be a way out of this. And with the parents I work with, I'm sure you see this as a coach, because a lot of parents after high conflict divorce, finances are tough. They spend so much money on court. And I worked with one mom who was really struggling, but she found a way, reunite with her daughter. But then she was like, I'm now emotionally and financially stable, because this has a ripple effect.
Yes.
Because now if you're in a better place, you can get better jobs, start businesses, find love again. So many parents I know, when they start, they say, I'll never date again. And I can totally understand why. They're like, no way. Yep. And then they're like, I'm going to date. And sometimes they've actually said, what? My kid who's alienated said to me, they don't want to see me because I don't have a partner. And so, because kids pick up on this. And so always, because you talked about raising your energy, a lot of parents, and I'll leave with this before we get into the how people can find me. They say, I don't want to show that I'm happy because my kid might see this and feel sad or mad that I'm happy without them. I've talked to so many kids who are reunited. They all reunite with happy parents, not sad parents. And if you're concerned, share it on social media. Your kid is stalking you with a fake account. I will guarantee you that. Your kid is following you. So be very careful. Use it to your advantage. You can always say, I went on a great boating trip today. Can't wait to share it with my son. And then they know that you're thinking of them. But you're not saying, I miss my son, I'm alienated. You're just saying, you're just showing your great life. And I've seen a lot of parents where the social media can have a huge impact, negatively and positively. So use it for good. Reach out with love. And I can almost guarantee your kid is watching you with a fake account. Do you know they all have fake accounts now? I found this out, to spy on their teachers. So they're also spying on their alienated parents. Yeah, yeah. So like, so they're like, I'm blocked, my kid doesn't follow me. I'm like, oh, they're following you. And they are tech geniuses compared to you. Yeah. So use this to your advantage. Use this as a window to show how, what a beautiful life, how much healing you are, how you're a changed person. They are watching you and they are healing.
And you, if you walk into a room and there's a Debbie Downer in the corner, she's not the one you walk over to. It's, it's the person who's magnetic is the person who's got this high energy and they're connecting with everyone and they're joyful. And so everything that we can do to help you, the listener, raise that emotional energy for your, the benefit of your own life. And it's certainly in these situations for the benefit of your relationship with your child.
Totally.
Yeah. So how can our listeners find you?
Thank you. So the easiest way is to go to reversingparentalalienation.com and you can take a free training there. But also you can, there's two ways I work with people. One is my roadmap program. And that combines a go at your own pace course that has meditations, which walks you through the steps we talked about today. And I try to keep it as super simple as possible. So the lessons are a half hour or less per week. You take it when you want, and there's an accompanying meditation to rewire your brain. But what I found is that people then need to know how to apply this in this in their own situation practice. So once a week, we have a group coaching call on. It's recorded if you can't make it. And we talk about how to use the roadmap in your own life.
Beautiful.
But now here's what's special. I'm not the only coach on the calls. I think this is one of the few programs of only program out there where the other coaches who we have on are all ex-alienated kids who healed. We also have on parents who healed. So there's a lot of programs out there that train parents who are alienated to be coaches, but they haven't reunited yet. So everyone has walked through this. And what I found is we have different techniques maybe, but we all have the same perspective. And I have not trained people on their perspective, but they all say, show up with love, raise your vibration, become a magnet. And I'm like, this is good. So people just say, it's not like my crazy theory, but all the kids say like, yeah, get healthy, be healthy, keep reaching out. Don't give up on us, even if we yell at you, like keep showing up. And then the other way is to work one-on-one with me. And I can work like a traditional coach for a set time period in sessions. And I also give email support when things come up because the parents often need a lot of support if they're texting their kids and ex. But then I also have a program which is really unique. which is I work with you until you reunite for one set fee and package. So however long it takes, I'm selective about who I work with. I'm almost pretty much full. So I am very selective with who I work with. And you can also find me on social media at Erasing Family on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. So that's our movie account. But I also, it's not just the movie. It is having other kids come on, talk about their experiences. I share tips on there. We share stories from other parents who have reunited. And it's a very active social media community. And we try to be as practical as possible. I do Facebook Lives. I do webinars. Beautiful. So there's a lot of ways to find me. So reversingparentalalienation.com, social media at Erasing Family. And just to let everybody know, I do not coach over email, text, or chat. So you can ask me about our program, but please don't, because it's just unethical. You know this as a coach. It's like people ask you a question and you don't know all the details. And also as a coach, I don't give advice. It's finding the best solution for you and your family. Because I always say to the parents, you're the expert on your own kids.
Yep.
I'm bringing you back to that expertise and love that you have. So I don't like, if you're like, oh, what should I text my kid? Like, I'm not going to give you that answer over email because I could give you a bad answer. And the whole idea is to get you back to that place where you say, I know it's a text.
Exactly.
Right.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. So check out Ginger, reversingparentalalienation.com. Please, please, please take some time and watch this film. You will never forget it. And again, Ginger, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you so much for coming and talking to our audience and sharing so much of your process and your wisdom.
Thank you, Karen. I love talking to somebody who gets it, who's also about raising energy and vibration. And whatever life throws at you, this is an opportunity to learn and to grow. And what a beautiful legacy to leave your kids.
Well said. Mic drop. I think we'll end on that. And we'll be back again real soon with another episode of High Conflict Divorce Demystified. Until then, you take care.
Thanks for joining us on the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast. I hope you found guidance and encouragement to help you along your journey. If you like my podcast, please take a minute to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. You can also visit us at jbddivorcesupport.com, where our team of coaches support both men and women through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources. Stay tuned for our next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.